Hey, good afternoon, guys. This is Charlie Pankey for CREC Magazine. Thank you for joining us again this week on our CREC Now podcast. We hope that the Sierra is within your sights or in your future plans here soon. And we are more than excited today to bring one of our guests today that everybody has that person they follow and mentor, right? And today I have Mike Mullen. He's a owner and author of, let's see, Lakes of Yosemite, Lakes of Desolation. I'm not sure. Do you have any other job titles, Mike? But Mike is someone I go to when I need to go, hey, where should I go? And Mike has always been courteous with me, and he's got a great project coming up we're going to talk about today called Lakes of Yosemite. So, Mike, how you doing today?
I'm great, Charlie. Yeah, thanks for having me here. It's fun to be here.
We're excited to have you. You know, our guests, a lot of our readers are actually from the Bay Area, from, you know, Fresno area, and they're all coming to the Sierra Maya, Los Angeles area. Sure. Maybe we could take a real quick moment, have you introduce yourself to everyone and quickly introduce the project you're working on.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Mike Mullen. I currently live in San Francisco, but I had the great good fortune of growing up on the north shore of Lake Tahoe. So I've been, the mountains are near and dear to my heart, the Sierra especially. About 10 years ago, I started working on a project to photograph all the named lakes in Desolation Wilderness. And that was so much fun. I didn't want to stop. So after that, I started working on the Lakes of Yosemite. And this will be the ninth summer that I'm working on that project. And it's getting close to finish. So this may be the final summer.
Nine summers and you have nine lakes left, correct? If I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. Yeah. Good memory. Yeah.
That's pretty good. the far out reach of lakes. We've been following Mike since Desolation. Obviously, you and I have been connected on social media for
yeah,
years,
many
it
years.
Seems like, and yeah. I started CREC 10 years ago, probably. Yeah. And I know Lakes of Desolation, you and I've talked about quite a bit, and some of the challenges it was to just get to every place that has a name. But Yosemite, I know, has brought a whole different set of challenges. I wonder if we'd start today a little bit on the challenging side. It's like you take on this project to photograph every named lake. Now, there's lots of other tarns and different things that don't have names, but. What are some of the biggest challenges you found in the last, you know, 7-10 years that you've been doing this in finding any of these lakes?
Yeah. Good question, Charlie. Yeah, there's there are a few challenges. To the best of my knowledge, no one's ever done this before. So part of it is kind of figuring out how to do it. Then that started with creating that list. I created a list of 167 named lakes, but there's not really a definitive list available. The National Park Service claims there's about 2,000 lakes in Yosemite, which I believe, but I think some of those are probably like wide spots and rivers, and some are little seasonal ponds and
little elbows. You know,
that seemed a little untenable, so I focused on the ones with names. And of those 167, 100 are off trail or cross country, so there's no currently maintained and marked trail to them. So that creates an interesting challenge to find the route and navigate to those lakes, which is a lot of fun.
So is navigation something that it came naturally to you? Is that a skill you've had to learn?
I was really lucky. I grew up hiking cross country. Again, I grew up at Lake Tahoe, and my dad loved to fish, and he especially loved to fish in places where there were no other people. Yeah. And for him, that meant places where there was not a trail. So. And his dad was the same way, and so kind of taught him. So it felt natural to me to travel cross country off trail, especially in the Sierra, where, you know, if you're lucky, things are pretty open. There's not too much brush.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you found yourself in a pickle or two where you've walked, you know, a mile, 2 miles into a certain direction just to find yourself turning back around?
Yeah, absolutely. Luckily, only once, pretty badly, near Ostrander Lake. Okay. I had that uniquely unsettling experience of figuring out that you're totally not where you thought you were, and you're headed, in my case, I was headed 180 degrees in the wrong direction. And
wow, that's a big deal.
That's an unnerving experience.
Hope you didn't get too far.
Not too far. Yeah, I figured out that I was lost and took a nice break and just relaxed for a little bit, and then things started to look a little better, and I kind of was able to figure out where I'd gone wrong and get back on track. But kind of the fun cross-country travel, usually you're not that far off track, but it's a lot of kind of tacking back and forth and kind of figuring out where you need to go. And
is there a lake that sticks out in your mind as that was the toughest route I've ever had to do endure to get the photo?
Oh yeah, good question. There are some tough ones. Some of those last nine, there's some tough ones left. But one that was particularly elusive for me was Spiller Lake, which is kind of in the northeast of the park.
Okay.
And I took four tries to get there, and I finally reached it from probably not the best way, which involved an extremely steep descent from the north down to the lake. That was it was a little hairy, such that I spent the night there, and the next morning I looked back at my route in, and I decided I don't think I want to go up the way I came down, so I went back a different way, which is unusual because usually, you know, up is easier than down
right.
when you're climbing something steep. So.
Yeah, was that route like it was just pure the steep and like drop offs, or did you have a lot of talus that was sliding and stuff? I know.
It was legitimate. That was the sketchiest little section. You know, it's been like 90 days in the field, 89, something like that. That was definitely the sketchiest. Like hour took an hour to go like 0.2 mile, 600 vertical feet down.
Crazy. Yeah. I know I followed some of your, I mean, it was even last summer, you actually, the project's got to be difficult because you can't just drive your car in Tuolumne Meadows and just hike to all these lakes in a day, right? So like yeah. last year, I think you were going through Hoover Wilderness from 108. You came right. down into through the Hoover Wilderness into Yosemite
on the back yeah.
side to get some of these lakes, right? So there's some distance you have to cover just to get into certain areas.
Yeah, it's been one of the fun, unexpected pleasures of the project, really, is getting exposure to specifically the Hoover Wilderness, that Spiller Lake. All four of those attempts started on the Hoover Wilderness, going in through Summit Lake in every try. So yeah, then you know you've got the Immigrant Wilderness to the north and the Ansel Adams to the south and the east. So yeah, it's a fun thing about Yosemite. It's in itself surrounded by wilderness area on three sides.
Exactly.
It really expands in a lot of ways it kind of expands the park.
Yeah. Where did you start with just a map and start, you know, pinpointing all these places before when you planned it out? Or like today, I've been doing Yosemite hikes now for 7 years.
Cool.
And I literally read a path that somebody took. I go, I've never even thought that would be a route. And it yeah. was a whole different concept of getting into Yosemite, kind of like a southwestern side and did a big loop into Vogel's thing. I was like, that's crazy. Oh, cool. I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, I sympathize with you. I'm constantly learning new things. There's these trips, you know, these last trips I'm planning for this summer that I've been thinking about for a long time, and I still kind of just study the maps on. I use CalTopo a lot. It's a great base tool that I really like, CalTopo.com. And still new stuff jumps out at me on the topo map. Like, oh, what about that little wrinkle, or maybe this approach is better. And it occupies a lot of my time in the winter.
Do you have a background in like rock climbing or anything like that? Do you have to have technical skills, or do you just keep it, you know, pretty much a standard backpack or maybe a little class 3?
Yeah, no, I don't have any rock climbing background. I never carry rope.
Okay.
I try to keep it class 2, at the
okay,
most.
Class 2, okay.
Yeah, there might be the occasional little bit of class 3, but it's not my, and it's part of the lake focus. I don't have to climb peaks. So.
Exactly. Yeah, that is really actually part of my, I think it's why you and I connect. I do lakes and valleys and rivers, and I hardly ever go to the peaks.
So
obviously the pictures, our pictures are, you know, something we look at all the time. But, you know, if you don't know Mike and follow my story here at CREC Magazine, I've done a half a dozen backpacking trips now in Yosemite. Mike is, is actually giving me leads on every one of those. Go, hey, you should check this lake out or stay there. I think the first time I spoke to you, I was doing Young's Lake. And you made a recommendation on that. And then the next year, you gave me probably my best advice I've ever received, and that was going to the Nelson Lake Loop, where we did Nelson, made this echo around the cathedral. And you were kind of the one that said, hey, if you're looking for something fun off trail, that would be a great one for my family. I've done that twice now with two different groups of people. It's absolutely one of my favorite, beautiful off trail experiences, because you just don't see anybody, right? It's like, I saw three people last time the whole week.
Oh, cool.
You know, except for 4 days.
yeah. Yeah. That, yeah. Well, first, I got to say, like, you take some great photographs of those places. It's been fun to see, especially your shots of young lakes. And that's a special spot. But yeah, it's been one of the fun things that I've learned, or the kind of trend that's emerged around Yosemite, is I think so many folks who go to Yosemite, they want to hike one of the marquee trails. And it creates this weird vacuum for all the rest of the park. There's just not that many people. I think local, you know, Californians are thinking like, oh, it's too crowded, I don't want to bother, the permits, whatever, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. So they don't go. So you're left with people who are maybe going to be in the park one or two times in their life. So they want to do the thing, the big thing, you know, Half Dome, Clouds Rest, et cetera, you know, John Muir Trail. So if you get off of those routes, like, I routinely spend days and don't see anybody. And it's been a real surprise. I had kind of thought I had really prepared myself to have a much more crowded, less solitude kind of experience in Yosemite, but it hasn't proved to be the case, and luckily. And yeah, that's Nelson, great example. That's a little gem.
Yeah, Nelson Lake, both times I've been there now, I've seen one person. They stay on the other side of the lake. I had my side of the lake. I didn't see anybody at Mathis this year at all. And we just had the whole place to ourselves, which is amazing. And then we got to Echo Lake, and one person walked through but didn't stay, so we had Echo Lake, the whole canyon, all night long. Now we got the cathedral, obviously there's the crowd again, right?
Right.
Had two, three, you know, two nights basically with I saw two human beings in the distance. Pretty awesome. Yeah. So
it's special. I'm routinely amazed at how you can, in the state of California, you can hike out not too far and be completely by yourself for
not
several
really
days.
Far at all, really, right? Yeah. So I have a question. You mentioned a minute ago permits, and so it's one of the questions I've always wanted to ask you yourself. Like, you're going some places that you really can't find on a permit map, right? You can't log into recreation.gov and say, hey, I want this trail permit because I'm going to this lake. It's not listed, right?
Right.
So how does someone who wants to go explore a lake that's off one of the main, you know, reservation routes, how do they go about getting a permit to a lake like that?
Sure. Yeah, it's a good question, Charlie. And it's, you know, I think that the permit during, you know, our kind of 10 years of experience in that area, the permit process has really improved, in my opinion. And just this year, I discovered a nice like zone map of all of the, so, you know, when you're on recreation.gov, and you're selecting from that dropdown where you want to spend your nights, there's a nice map now that defines those terms, you know. So a lot of those, those dropdowns are, can be a little vague sounding.
Exactly. I need you to send me that, because the Desolation, there's a zone map.
So Desolation, you have that first night requirement that you have to spend your first night in your quota zone. That tool is really useful. I'll send it to you, Charlie.
Okay.
I don't know if there's like show notes, you can put it in there.
I don't have it here today, but fairly new still to the streaming thing. So
it's also linked through the recreation.gov page for Yosemite permits, but it was new to me. So that helps. You know, I think when there's a couple of nice like tips, I guess, for Yosemite permits. Like if you're not doing one of those top five trailheads, like, permits are pretty easy to get. Either reserve them, you know, in advance. It's like not quite 6 months where they open up a batch of permits, and then the next batch is opened up 2 weeks ahead. And then you can also enter, you know, through one of those surrounding wilderness areas, and then you just need the permit for whatever that wilderness area is. And some of those are all unfortunately different the way they're managed.
Yeah. So for like Hoover Wilderness last year, you got a permit from Hoover Wilderness.
Yeah.
Exactly. Into Yosemite over. Right. But did you have to have a Yosemite permit to be in Yosemite, or did you just take the Hoover Wilderness and?
Yeah, no, the it's all based on where you enter, where you start your hike.
Yep.
So in that case, I started from Robinson Creek at Twin Lakes outside Bridgeport.
Yep.
And that permit was good all through for a week in Yosemite. Although I spent I camped right on the border, but gotcha. The first night and the last night. It's yep. kind of academic whether I was in Yosemite or the Hoover Wilderness those two nights.
There's no law in the wilderness, right?
yeah, exactly. There was no marker right where I camped. Yeah. I was pretty close though. And I did get stopped by a ranger in Yosemite who had no problem with my permit. So,
oh, good. Okay.
So, yeah. So I knew I have both book knowledge and live knowledge that works.
That's perfect. That's kind of what I was wondering, because I've never actually done that myself.
Oh, like, yeah.
Sure. To get into Yosemite from an outside wilderness. I've always just driven.
Of course. Yeah.
And what you said about permits is so true. Like, I've never, the only permit I've ever been denied in Yosemite. And I get one every year because I always put three options. So it doesn't matter what you get, right? Cool. But I wanted for the longest time to either start at Sunset Lakes or start at Cathedral Lakes. And then instead of going up to Cathedral Lakes, I actually want to go to Lyell Canyon and over Donahue and down to Devil's Postpile through Anthony Adams, right? And so, but Donahue Pass is one of those things. It's really hard to get that permit. It's like a lottery system to go over that, right? And that's the only permit I've never, I've been other times I said, I'm going to only do that one. Nope. Turned down. It's the only thing I get turned down.
Yeah.
Anything else I get, right? It's like, all right, well, there a guy with that, I'll try it on Wednesday then. Wednesday's got to be a better day to go in, right? Right. Donahue's hard.
Yeah. That's a tough one. Yeah. I've never even tried to get I've gotten a couple of Lyell Canyon permits, but not with the, you know, not through Donahue.
Yeah. So, yeah. I've been told to go over Coip, to just go up over Coip and forget Lyell. If you've already hiked Lyell, just go up Coip and go over.
Yeah,
it's a little higher elevation, but you can get that one a little easier. I understand. So,
if you're willing to kind of get away from the main, most popular routes, you know, there's lots of options. Alternatives.
Has there been a route that's like still on your, maybe it's one of the nine that are still on the list that you've been trying to get done, but you were denied a permit, or you just haven't been able to get that one secure yet, or?
Sure. Yeah. Well, there's one of the trips I've got planned this summer. I wasn't able to get the trailhead permit I wanted, so I'm just starting from a different trailhead. And in fact, it's kind of relevant to what you're bringing up right now, because I had wanted to have sunrise permit, but I'm going to hike out via Nelson instead. I have a trip to the Clark Range, essentially.
That's going to be beautiful.
Access it just a little differently.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's it. That would be, when we got to Echo last year, we wished we had an extra day because my son wanted to see a sunrise. Like, we could easily get the sunrise from here.
Yeah.
And we could have done, you know, backtracked in that way, right? But we didn't have an extra day last year. So it was like, we'll come back. One of the trips I got planned this year, I told you about, is like, I'm going up Rafferty Creek, the Vogelsang, over to Bernice Lake. And then I think I'm going to do Washburn. And then, you know, down in the valley, I have a cousin coming out that wants to do that trip. And the gal I watched today, I was doing this trip, she actually landed at Bernice Lake. But instead of going straight down to Washburn, she actually climbs back up Vogelsang, goes Imrich. That next lake past Imrich. I forget what the name of that one past Imrich is. But then goes back down, then goes to Washburn and goes out. So what's that lake?
Babcock Lake. It's the one below.
That's what it is.
Yeah. And it's if you get the opportunity, it's a beautiful little lake. It's kind of out of the way. Lots of good camping sites there. I didn't camp there, but it looked, I wished I could. It looked like a great spot to spend a night.
That's a great question for you. Is there, now that you're down to your last nine, are you going to be able to finish those this year, you think? Or is it going to be one more year?
Yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance. know, we'll see.
Close. Well, if weather and fire holds up.
Yeah, a lot of variables, but that's it feels reachable. So we'll see how it goes. Yeah.
Is there a lake in your memory bank where you go, when this is all done, I can't wait to go back and spend 3 or 4 days there and just fish and hang out? And kind of a place, one of those nirvana places.
Well, a couple things. One, I don't fish, so it wouldn't be that. but two, I mean, like half of them at least, maybe more. I mean, so many of them are amazing. I don't think there's like a single one that jumps out, but there's lots that I would love.
There's lots of beautiful lakes up there. Right?
Yeah. McClure Lake was a really special spot and a fun hike. That would be a fun one to do again.
Which side is McClure on?
Sure.
The name, but
Yeah, McClure Lake is the highest elevation named lake in the park. It's just under 11,500. And it's just below McClure, Mount McClure and Mount Lyell. So the big glaciers are up there above it. It's just a, you know, way above tree line, all just rocky,
beautiful,
kind of austere. And it drains out to the north, and it just has of that little bit of kind of infinity pool quality to it a little bit, where you can look out across the lake and just, you're so high, you don't, there's very little out there. It's yeah, it's a special spot and just a fun, that was one of most of the hikes I've gone on, I go by myself. But this one, this trip, my brother was able to join me and we hiked in via Ireland Lake, which was really fun. And the cross country route from Ireland to McClure was wonderful. And so that's a cool little zone. Cool. That'd be a fun one to go back to.
It's pretty rugged up there.
A lot of them.
That's a pretty rugged part of the country. You know, when you
get it is, but that cross country route is really mellow. And it's just nice. I mean, the scenery is astounding. And it's like a walk in, it's just this mellow walk in the park.
You know, my sons, I took them backpacking up Rafferty, Boglesmere, and then we crossed over to Ireland and then down into Lyell and out. We did that.
Yeah. So like, yeah, that's a great route, right? Yeah.
But we stayed our final night up on the ridgeline, kind of north of Ireland Lake. Just kind of right up on the ridgeline, found like a rock shelf and, you know, like a grassy area. And you had the perfect view of sunset on the Kuna crest.
Oh, cool.
Across the canyon and stuff. It was such a beautiful, and they said, we had no water. We forgot to fill up water in our last stop. So we were kind of a little short on water, but it was just one of those nights where we just sat back and played cards in the grass. It was, you know, one of my favorite nights out in the woods. It was pretty cool. So,
yeah, that Ireland Lake is pretty spectacular.
It's a neat cool region.
Yeah.
In all your travels of desolation, Yosemite, whichever it is, have you, besides the time you get lost, do you ever run into, you know, angry mountain lion or bear or anything like that scare you, or you know, any stories like that?
Yeah, no, luckily, knock on wood, it's been pretty, pretty smooth sailing for the most part. You know, I think partially it's because I hike by myself. I'm pretty cautious and I don't take a lot of chances. I think the most like harrowing experience I had was getting caught out in a snowstorm and with a pretty limited, I had just brought a small tarp, no tent, because I was anticipating better weather. So I made a little lean-to makeshift place to camp. That was a little bit more adventure than I had bargained on, but it turned out to be a beautiful experience. It was fun to see the fresh snow, and it was.
Was it like a late season, or was it an early spring one that you were going?
It was a little late. It was like early October, first week in October. Oh, so you know, definitely possible to get some snow.
Absolutely, especially in Yosemite. Yeah. In the ranges there.
Yeah.
And you said that earlier that you had gone through immigrant wilderness also. Is there a zone? If you kind of, I always think Yosemite, I kind of quadrant into four zones, right? You got the Northwest, East. You know, is there a zone of Yosemite that you found to be kind of your favorite to trounce around in? It's like, I love going back here. It's like, whether it be routes or canyons or, you know, more granite.
Oh yeah, Charlie, good question. It's really hard for me to pick favorites. It's all pretty wonderful.
That's fair. My wife hates when I ask the favorite questions to you. Stop doing it. They're all good.
Yeah, truly. I mean, I think one zone of the park that stood out to me just because I didn't expect it, I guess, was the Northwest, you know, out above Cherry Lake and Lake Eleanor, that little corner.
Okay.
Boundary Lake and the Inferno Lakes there, and then a little further to the east you'd get to the Twin Lakes and the Peninsula Lakes, and that whole area I just wasn't really expecting. Those lower, they're all, those lakes, most of them are kind of lower elevation,
okay,
6500 to 7500, some of them maybe pushing 8, and it's kind of it looks on topo maps like a pretty mellow part of the park, but there's lots of stuff that falls under the 40-foot contour line, you know, a 10-foot cliff is enough to turn you around, me anyway. Yeah. So there's a lot of that kind of business in that area and brush. So it's kind of a fun, a surprisingly difficult little corner of the park to negotiate. But cool little lakes, and a lot of it's off trail.
Yeah, I don't hear about that corner very often. I've never personally been on that corner myself.
Yeah, it's out of the way. You have to drive. It's kind of a long drive out to Cherry Lake, and then for 5 years, the main trailhead was kind of washed out, so you had to hike another mile. I think they may have fixed that by now. It's the Kibby Ridge, and Kibby Lake is sort of the entry point.
Yeah, I know where you're at. I just, like I said, I hadn't done it myself. Because a little bit because of the drive, right? Because I'm on the east side, so it's a kind of
for you it's a lot further, For me, I live in San Francisco, so for me it's a little easier.
That makes sense, yeah. And I mean, this is why I go up Tioga Pass, you know, soothe my back. Sure,
yeah, totally. Yeah, you're right there. So
that makes a whole lot of sense. So that you got stuck in snow. We're going to run up on 30 minutes way too fast here. So I apologize to my fans if I run a little late here today. I was geeked a little bit about talking to Mike today. I guess, Mike, what lake this year that you have coming up that you're kind of most anticipating? I don't know if you're nervous about these things anymore, but you know, it's like that one's going to be particularly challenging, but it's going to be so much fun to get that lake.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Great question. So I think there's two that kind of pop to mind. One that I'm more worried about and one that I'm more excited about. So the one I'm a little worried about is called Edith Lake. And it's in that same area outside of Cherry Lake. That'll be my access point for this attempt. I've tried a few times from other directions to reach there. And it's an interesting lake. It's fairly low elevation. It's quite large. I think it's like 6,200, 6,300. It's pretty low for Yosemite. It's one of the ones that's furthest away from a trail. Yep. So it's going to require a lot of cross country, and it's down in this canyon that is... it's going to be a little tricky. So we'll see. It's eluded me. It's been when it kind of was when I started working on this project, going back to the beginning of our conversation, I did look at maps to get started and kind of like compile a list just by kind of scanning across the topo maps and writing down all the names. That was sort of my first step. And it jumped out at me that at the very beginning of this project, this Edith Lake, it just looks super intriguing on the map. Right. So I think that's the one I'm a little apprehensive about because it's a tough one. Despite being low elevation, well, I mean partially that brings in a lot of brush typically, the lower elevation. So that's part of the challenge with that one. And then the one that I'm excited about is Harriet Lake, which is very high elevation. Have you been to Harriet Lake?
I have not been. I know where it's on the map, but I've not been.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, so kind of the other side of the park, close to the Ansel Adams Wilderness, right on the boundary, essentially, to the south. And cross country, but it looks pretty doable. It's going to be at the end of a long loop that I'm planning on doing. So, and I think, depending on how things work out, it's looking like that may well be the last lake that I get to for the first time. So I'm kind of, and it feels like a nice one to potentially close the project out with. So I'm excited about that.
Well, let's talk about the close of the project real quick here. Last time for the Desolation, you did a little book. I know that you have a copy of that.
Yeah, you've got a copy.
Are you planning to do the Lakes of Desolation book? Is it going to be something that people can look at for, you know, maybe not this Christmas, maybe that's too soon, the next Christmas or next hiking season?
It's not going to be this year. I do want to make a book, for sure. It'll probably take a few years.
Okay.
Together, but it's definitely going to happen because that was a really fun part of the Desolation project, doing that. So
it was really good. It's really good. I got one for my friend as well, so and he
and
we were just talking about it actually the other day because I'm a volunteer in Desolation. I think you know that.
They asked me
to kind of adopt Snow Lake this year.
Be
doing four trips into Snow Lake and doing cool. some extra mapping and stuff for people this year on that one.
Very cool.
People lost out there much. Ropey Lake and Snow and Azure, those are the three lakes I enjoy the most, and those are
good ones
to get into a little bit maybe sometimes.
Snow Lake, that's a place I'd love to get back to, and Azure. Those are really.
I saw the biggest bear last year going in Snow Lake. It was massive. Really? I came up off a piece of granite and turned kind of, you know, south into these bushes, and he just stood up 7.5 feet tall.
Oh, no.
Big. I mean, Matt, Paul's as big as my fit. I like took my way. Whoa, you're a big boy. And I stepped backwards and he just plopped down and ran away. But it was like, that was the biggest bear I'd ever seen.
that sounds a little too close for comfort.
it was 30 yards, but it was like, whoa, yeah, he's
probably felt a lot less than 30 yards.
It made me stumble. It's like, okay, back up. But yeah. I was just glad he ran the other direction, because, you know,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I really do think they are, unless they're habituated to people, you know, the wild ones are way more scared of us than we are of them.
Absolutely. Not the mama bear and the cub I'd seen the year before down in Snow Creek area. She just ran across the trail and started eating grub 50 yards of trail. It was the cub I was worried about, because he stood up on his hind legs and looked at me going, hey, what are you?
yeah.
So you stay over there.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, you don't want to get involved in that.
Very good. Mike, we're running 30 minutes. I want to be respectful of his time. Maybe I'll have you on again in the summer and we'll talk about your nine lakes here.
Cool.
I asked my guests three questions to end our interview each time.
Sure, Charlie,
so three questions, kind of fun ones for, and I think these will be good for you. So I know your bag's packed for the summer already. So this would maybe be a little, but let's just say the bag's packed and you're going to go someplace that you just love to go, or you just can't wait to go for the first time. Where are you heading?
Oh, yeah. Well, good question. Well, I mean, the trip that's really on my mind is that trip to Edith Lake. So, That's going to go in via Flora Lake. So Flora and Edith Lake.
Oh, very good. I'm going to look that up. I'm going to see what your route is. That's going to be, I know where that lake's on the map is. I've looked at it too. And I'm going, that's going to be fun to see what you do on that one. Very cool. And so while you're on the trail, actually, this could be a two-part, but on the trail, like favorite snack you take with you that you always eat. And then like you hike some massive miles. So like what's the after post hike go-to meal? Maybe cheeseburger, milkshake, right?
Right. Great questions. You know, I would appreciate. I don't have a favorite snack. I really struggle with that. So, what's your favorite snack? Because some tips.
I have two really. I my cheat snack is just those little mini payday bars. They have peanuts and caramel, which is a great trail, you know, snack food.
Sure.
Just while I'm on the trail, like I'm just hiking through the day, I just like sunflower seeds.
Oh, okay.
You know, the little salt and sunflower seeds, yeah, does a good trick for me. So,
all right, nice.
I'm pretty simple that way.
Yeah, I'll have to keep that.
But after trail, cheeseburger, milkshake, wherever I'm at, just find the nearest cheeseburgers.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, no, I don't have a good after trail tradition. Yeah, I need to develop that. Yeah,
between Yosemite and San Francisco, there's got to be some good places to stop.
There's got to be. You know? Yeah, it's funny. You know, I'm always kind of in a rush to get home when I'm done, so yeah, sure. I rarely stop. I usually just head home and then, cook something at home. I don't have a good. That would be nice to have a nice post.
Just figure that, right?
Yeah, I got to work on that.
Very good, very good. And my final question, I guess, is favorite piece of gear that you have in your bag, like. What is the, I never leave home without this piece of gear?
Oh, sure. Yeah, good question. You know, I'm not too gear, or I mean, like gear isn't kind of the focus of my time. But one
camera
thing,
is obviously one, right?
Yeah, camera for sure. I do, you know, I've definitely trended towards lighter weight gear over the years. So I have a nice setup now. One thing I got last year, which I kind of tried to resist for a while, but I really love, is a Hyperlite mountain pack. I got a quarter pack that they make. And I had been a little skeptical of that brand for some reason. But I got that pack and I got a couple of their packing pods, I think they call them, these little bags and stuff, everything. Yep. And they just fit perfect. And I have been amazed at how comfortable that pack is. It's like the simplest thing, no bells and whistles, but it's by far the most comfortable pack I've ever carried.
That's great.
I love that it's comfortable. Yeah.
It's funny. I grabbed a Eagle Creek pod, just this last March, and I'm looking forward to trying it because it, you know, just a different way of packing the pack, right?
And yeah, so yeah.
I switched packs 2 years ago, and it doesn't have a bottom zip out like my old one. Okay. Like, so I'm trying to figure out how to pack it differently, and so I bought some pods, try to compress that down a little differently. So
let me know how you like them. It's been a game changer for me. It's nice. You just pull, you pull like four things out of your pack, and then you can kind of like go from there instead of every little thing.
So, yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking too.
And stuff stays drier. The pack itself is pretty waterproof, but then those things are as well. So when you stack those on top of each other, nothing gets wet, which is nice.
I'm sitting here thinking of the 32 more questions I want to ask you. Like, you take an in-reach device, what's the nastiest river you had across? I have all these questions I want to ask about hiking. But I want to be respectful of your time and our guest. We have about 5 minutes over. So, Mike, thank you so much for joining me. Please, I'd love to tell more of your story as this gets going at the end of the year.
Thanks, Charlie.
Your story and telling our lake story. You're always welcome to write for me in the magazine that way. Guys, check him out. Lakesofyosemite.com is kind of track his thing. There's a map up there with what the little red dots and what lakes are left. You can see where he's been. You see Mike on the trail and bushing through, off trail. Just wave to him and say hi.
Please do. Anybody's got any questions, reach out anytime. I always love to chat about the mountains, answer questions about where I've been. So
yeah, you're really active on Instagram. You always answer all my questions on Instagram.
Yeah,
Yosemite, great photos, and you're always more than helpful with advice. So thank you so much for your time today. I know it's Friday. Enjoy your weekend.
Sure, Charlie. Yeah,
we'll look forward to getting this out to our crew and go from there.
Cool. Yeah, thanks, Charlie. Really appreciate your time and really fun to be on. Fun conversation. Thanks so
much. Absolutely, Mike. Have a great day.
All right. Take care.